Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and I have a little different guest than what I told you guys last week when we were going to have a guest. We were supposed to have Robin Livesay with Up Level Systems on, but she had a family emergency that she had to deal with, so that will be scheduled either next week or the week after. We will check on that soon, but as luck would have it, my good friend, my new Florida friend, Mike Smith was available. So Mike is here with me. Mike, how are you doing?
Hey, doing good. Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you're getting ready to head out soon, but you've had an interesting few days and you get to enjoy your first semi-hurricane watch.
Yes. And thank you for the hurricane app. So my wife and I, and my wife more than me, where I worry about everything else, she's been obsessed with the hurricane. And it's kind of funny where your priorities lie. That wasn't where I was really upset about, certainly concerned. And the first person I call is certainly Marvin, who's got he's the Florida weatherman. And I'm glad it's not hitting me, but it's going to hit you. You know, it's coming up the east.
Well,
it's going out, actually, isn't it?
We still have a good 24 hours before we know for sure, because just like it did last night, I don't know if you know this, but last night as we were, closing up shop and heading home, it was still supposed to be just a tropical storm.
Right. And now it's a hurricane.
It's a hurricane. And that is the joy of hurricane watching in the state of Florida. It can change in a minute, and any little jog, to us it looks so ridiculously small, but a jog one way or the other, just a wobble, could be the difference of 50 to 100 miles as to where it goes in the long term.
That's a hard way to live during this season. I understand why people go north for the summer and this time, because it is nerve-wracking. If I knew it was coming right here, I would be, going crazy. What do we do?
Right.
So this is but I was telling Marv before we started, hopefully I take off Sunday morning. I'm supposed to take off at 9 a.m., which I think is pretty close when it's hitting this area, or at least parallel, across Florida.
It'll be parallel. And even still, if it stays anywhere near the projected path, you should be good, because the winds should stay below tropical storm, speed over there, which will allow you to still take off. But us over here, we are in tropical storm warnings, at the beginning stages of a hurricane watch. So now I've already had to change plans. I had a gentleman email last night wanting to know if I can head to Miami to help with some UPS testing on their servers. We wanted to do a power drain and some temperature testing, and he wanted it to be Friday at 4 o'clock. And I had to tell him, sorry, can't do it. We're in hurricane watch now, which basically for us means no new appointments and joy.
That's what I wanted to know. Boy, this really did change your schedule from, being now a category one for all your clients and everybody you got to worry about. So this would be just nerve wracking. But to you, it's like, another day.
Well, I've dealt with it for so many years now. It's just, we know it's coming. We know it's happening. And the customers know it. It's frustrating for them as well, because, a lot of times if it's coming in the middle of the week, trying to determine, if staff comes into work, stays home, how much time do you go to prep? You would even ask me about, what do you do in preparation? And I'm like, on your side, don't worry about it. But over here, now we have to worry about, you know, if it comes in as a low one or a high one, do we go out and put up the shutters?
Right. And do I, I ask more of like, where do we park the cars, you know, and what do we, you know, I'm afraid, like, what's, you know, what's going to happen? Like, even my wife on our Highlander, because we have the one we bought down here is under the carport, but the other one, she's going to take it around the side of that center because there's less chance of a tree hitting it, you know, now that we moved it, so the tree, the wind will take it and, you know, probably throw something into the car, you know, but.
So one thing you'll have to pay attention to is how the winds react around your house.
Right.
Because you have to see if there's like a wind gully, you know, if wind will swoosh between another house and yours, because you may worry about the tree falling. But, if you get to a higher category storm, what if it pushes the car from where you parked it or slams it up against the side of the house? I mean, there's so many things to think about.
And what's worse, Dorothy's home alone because I'm flying out Sunday morning. So a lot, you know, it depends on what time everything hits. And then I get to enjoy it again in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
As it swoops up the coast and part of it might, you know, it look at least the last time I looked, there was part of the cone was included, you know, Philadelphia was included.
Right.
So I have to now I got to worry about that up at my house up there where there is a ton of weak trees. And this is, you know, I hate this because now there's a pool I got to worry about and clean. And it's just so much work.
But it won't be that bad. Actually, by the time it hits there, it should be dropping in strength. And it's really going to depend on whether it comes below the Bahamas. Again, things you got to pay attention to. Does it come, if it comes in below the Bahamas, it's one scenario. If it comes in over the Bahamas, it's another scenario. If it goes above the Bahamas, then we should be good.
So all of your clients that have, they know they've been down here. They've been through this. Do they all have generators or just some have generators? Some just say, hey, you know what? They'll just go down.
Not all of them, because some of them are in office buildings where they don't have control over that.
Right. There's a mercy.
I do have a couple of firms where actually I had a big law firm at their main office. They installed one last year. And I just saw an email trail where the principal attorney was upset because it hasn't been tested. And he's worried now that it may or may not come on. So that's the thing that they do. But most of them will have, you know, small portable generators that they'll use just for the server room. We've done that with a couple of places where we'll run in cables just to power up the servers and stuff. And then people will go home and work remotely. But a lot of them don't. A lot of them, it's weird because we've had storms where even big ones have come through and some people, you know, if it's just a day or two without power, they'll survive. But I remember Hurricane Wilma, I had no power 12 days. Oh,
it was actually an ice storm after Hurricane Sandy. And we were ready and we were some of the few that had a portable generator. And we had literally just gotten that connected and tested, and it was amazing. We were, I think, 5 days, that was the most. And the hardest thing was getting fuel for it to keep it running. Mm-hmm. And you got to give it a break. So after 2 days nonstop, I remember the guy that helped me, the electrician that helped me get that all set up, he said, give it a break for a few hours, you know, and let it cool down and then, you know, fire it up again. And we did that and we kept the fuel going. And then you learn how to manage, you know, what you can turn on.
Yeah.
Cause I could see the level of usage and my whole office that you see when I broadcast was on the generator. And then I would literally turn that off and we would flick to night mode and I would throw the switches for power in the upstairs to be able to go, you know, go to sleep and stuff. I had to hit my desk again. So, just to keep the lights going, but it was interesting for the summer, I was able to run the portable air conditioner in my office. So that requires like its own 20 amp circuit. And I had no problem. I had no blips. So I was very happy. I think it was a 7,500 watt generator. That's a portable generator. And I forget how many gallons and how many trips to the gas station, but that was the hard part because the whole neighborhood was down. So you had to go out of your neighborhood to get gas.
Yeah.
So now do you have gas generators? Is that what are you using for you and for clients?
So currently I've got a portable gas generator at the house. Mm-hmm. And if anything happens at the office, I just basically work from home or vice versa. So that's the way that goes. Now we have been trying to schedule one of those standby generators at the house so that I could bring the portable and leave it here at the office. But most of my clients, the smaller clients, have a portable gas.
Okay.
And like I mentioned, the one customer that got the standby and the others are in office buildings where they have limited standby generators, which means that they'll power their lights, they'll power their stuff. And I think the IDF closets are on that. But of course, most of the open air office space is not covered by those generators.
Now, do you take on the responsibility of maintaining that generator when it's not being used? Like, no. Okay, no. Good. I'm glad you said no. Because I would not do that where you got to do that fuel additive to make sure the gas is fresh if it's not being used. And then what about tests? Do they let you know like that? Hey, we want to test going on generator for the servers. And
so they're supposed to.
Okay.
But sometimes they don't. But for instance, the one customer that had the standby after they had it installed, probably about a month later, I think it's been installed like 18 months, maybe.
Right.
And a month after it got installed, I started getting alerts that servers were going down. Mm. And I called them and said, hey, what's going on? And they're like, oh, nothing that we know of. Well, then all of a sudden, as their battery backups on their desktops and stuff, and so stuff started going down. And what I found out was they ran their backup to the server room only.
Okay.
And the company put the wrong converter or the wrong inverter or whatever. So something happened where it flipped and it turned off the power instead of becoming standby power.
Right.
So they had to come out and fix that. So in terms of tests, I always say, look, I need to know if you're doing a test. Because if something happens and a server gets shut down the wrong way, I need to know about it. And this is a customer that has multiple servers. So I can't have a UPS per server with power management, you know, the way we would like.
Right.
So in theory, with that one, if the power goes out, you know, the battery backups hold it for, you know, a couple of seconds till the standby comes on. So in theory, I shouldn't notice a thing. But I always want to know.
See, I haven't had to worry about this since I was last in the corporate world. So when I was at AmeriGas, the corporate headquarters that I managed the network, you know, for the whole country, but in my data center, there were 200 servers. So now we had some big Liebert UPSs, but with the generator, once we finally got a generator, and by the way, that would go on once a week. Every week it would power up and it would, because it's got to run. And that was all diesel fuel. And what we would do is when we did our tests, the servers would go on the battery backup for the data center, like about 20 seconds, 30 seconds, because that transfer switch had to, take over. But what couldn't go over and what would go down hard and we had no control, we couldn't put our cracks, the air conditioner units in the data center. They would have to go down, the air conditioner units. So they would go down and then come back up. As sometimes it was fast enough, you wouldn't even notice. And then again, going back, when you're back on regular power, we would have that, you know, that 20 seconds, 30 seconds. I mean, we really only needed a UPS at that point to handle just a couple minutes, if that, you know, for the whole data center, because the generator, and that worked really well. I was, but it was an ugly monster outside the building. And I think since then they've moved it further away, you know, but at the time it was running the lines because everything got powered from the top of the building, and that's where our data center was. So it was getting those lines from the generator up to the top of the building. And that was very costly when we put that generator in. Mm. So it was funny. Everybody used to ask me, well, Mike, you work for a propane company. Why wouldn't you run this propane? You have an unlimited supply, right? Well, when you price it out in order, it's propane's a lot less efficient than diesel when it comes to a generator. I had to do this kind of research. Well, this is just a funny fact. The propane tank would have to be so big, we would become a filling station by law and under different jurisdictions that building management and the PA did not want to go through. Mm. So we couldn't even use our own energy source for the generator, which I thought was kind of interesting. So that's you don't have anybody, do you have people on propane? Yeah. I mean, I would think what a great alternative if the electric goes out too.
So we would be on propane. We have propane at our house. Okay. So when we get our generator, it will be propane. We just got to get a bigger tank.
Right. You see, exactly. So
our propane, I think ours is, it's either 50 gallons or 100 gallons because we just use it for the stove. So I think we need to switch to a 500 gallon or something like that to run our generator. So that's part of what's holding it up, is because we now have got to figure out where are we going to put a 500 gallon propane tank and the generator.
Scheduled to be filled. You got to make sure you're a priority, because during a crisis, how are you going to get refilled?
Yeah.
See, that was one of the things, we had to have a contract with a diesel supplier as part of the whole proposal that I was doing to put us on a generator to have it available. Because what good is it if you just run and the tank is going to run out and you have a multi-day, you know, outage? I looked at natural gas, and that was a problem because of where we were located in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. It is the hub of Fort Washington, King of Prussia, not Fort Washington, Valley Forge. It's an area that is a huge intersection of major highways, and we actually debated if there was a serious crisis, natural gas would probably be cut, you know? So we couldn't rely on that. So that's why diesel won out. Mm. So it's very, now, do you get to that level for IT for any new clients maybe, or?
I haven't, and I don't know that I would.
Okay.
I would just say, look, my responsibility stops at the server room door.
Okay.
You know, right. You get power to that room, and I'll make sure whatever's in the room is taken care of, but it's their responsibility to do everything else.
Yeah, they seem fit that fell on my shoulders. Somehow this was a networking issue, you know? So
right.
So that was kind of interesting. But I also got to weigh in after doing this. I got to weigh in on other data centers and our, you know, emergency call center in Rockland, California. And we had another data center in Rancho Cordova, California. Wow, my brain's really kicking in. So we had a couple offices in Houston, and they're the ones that terrorized us, you know, because of all the storms coming through Houston. That was just brutal, 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 brutal. Making sure they stayed up was not fun. So there was always evacuations and, you know, always getting them to have access to the rest of the company and the business was very difficult.
Yeah.
So that was probably my most difficult point. We didn't have the presence in Florida that I thought we would have. You know, it was interesting. Big Texas presence and California presence.
Your company is down here now.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
I've seen it.
That's the company that's securing my propane.
Okay. All right. It's a shame I'm not there anymore. We used to get propane at cost, and I didn't even have propane. And man, when you see the cost of a gallon of propane versus what they charge is so obscene. And so if you could get it at cost, it was like, not free, but pretty close. You know, that was a perk for some employees really liked that because they had propane at their house. So, me, I just, tanks. I could get a tank refilled and bring the receipt in and I'd automatically be reimbursed 100% just for the normal like grill tanks.
Hmm. All right. So as you get ready to leave, you can stop worrying about this at least for a little bit until the storm heads your way. What type of things are you headed back to tech-wise back in Philadelphia? Any projects?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have a client buying a building, and we've already chatted, and next week I got to go out and do the walkthrough for the following. He is going to lease or rent different offices. I got to divide up the IT. So we'll have, one main business internet coming in, but then I got to divide it with VLANs or switches or whatever, and break it out for whatever clients are going to be coming in. Here's what I really like. I should pick up some additional clients because when they come in, they're going to be like, well, this is our IT. It's MHS Consulting, to help you out. And then they would be, I'd be billing them directly. So it's like being the building cleaning services and you're going to lease. Well, you get me, for the work. So I'm like, hey, that's pretty cool. I need to get with some property management and building management companies. I never even thought of that until this hit. So it could be a whole new revenue stream that I didn't even anticipate. For new clients. So I'm going to be doing that, but I'm not doing the wiring. I'm just doing the design. And then I'll bring my wiring guy to quote that up based on, hey, I want you to, we need this many drops. This is where we want them. This is where, everything's going to come in at a central point. And so I got that. And then we had a rush. Here we go. Our first client with the coronavirus. So we get a call this past Wednesday, and my client said one of his workers, and this is another financial advisor, who's his main guy, came down with the virus and is quarantined at home, and we got to get him a laptop. So he said, Mike, I'm drop shipping you a new laptop from Dell. I'm like, great. So my son configured it, and as a matter of fact, today, it came in yesterday. He finished it up, got it all done. Then, and of course, he ordered it with a mechanical drive.
Of course.
So he ripped that out. My son ripped that out, put the solid state in, redid Windows 10, got everything going. And then we had to secure it, BitLocker, Malwarebytes Premium. We had to do our part that is making them FINRA compliant. So we do all that on the laptop he does. And I knew it was going to cost a lot. So we got his UPS tag. So he made the tag and sent it this morning. And my son, part of his duties today, because here's what's really interesting. My son goes on vacation in a half hour at 2:00 Eastern time. And I don't see him when I get back on Sunday. I don't see my oldest son. He is away with his family for the week. And so I'm on my own. So
at 2:00 today.
Yes.
So you've got to do everything remotely starting at 2:00 today.
Right. Until I get back Sunday at 11:30 in the morning.
Okay.
If I get back, if everything takes off. That's my worst fear right now is my flight gets canceled. And then there's an emergency Monday that requires a body and nobody's up there. So that's my worst case scenario right now. And I know who I would call if there's an issue. So I haven't chatted with them in a while. You always have to have a plan. I'm never without a plan. So I have someone to call that I think he's got some bench techs. And if they're not committed, I can send them out that I trust, because this is where I buy all my Dell hardware from, or all my, like, if I got to buy a server, this is where I buy it from. We go back a long way to the, through the corporate world, and we have a great relationship and they're close by, and he has, you know, a few techs. So I would just say, look, you know, send him out, and then, you know, he'd invoice me for them. You know, I'd invoice my client. So I'm not dead in the water on an emergency. You know, I think I do have some, and that's a great comment for anybody listening, you know, for planning. You know, you got to have that extra, you know, that extra emergency where you can call. So,
right.
So after that, the rest is just going to be like the retainer break fix coming in, as we put it, you know, like, you know, things that are coming in. I had my son do a lot of maintenance this week, so I don't have to. So he was quite busy, and that's it. I'm hoping for, you know, knock wood, we want a quiet week, and we only want to see new business calls, you know. But I'm ready once I'm there, and I'm even, here you go. We don't know the date of when a client is going to be moving. Now, he's in a temporary, we actually have two clients in temporary space because the coronavirus has prevented them from moving to the final space. So it depends on how things are opening up in Pennsylvania. Can they finish their destinations? Because a lot of them stop working, a lot of the contractors and different. So one of them is a church being modified to be a warehouse. So he literally bought it from the Archdiocese of in Pennsylvania for, this was a Roman Catholic church that they sold off, and he got it really cheap. And we've done our walkthrough, and the wiring's, like, I think the wiring's just about finished. So if he's going to move in and he calls next week, I'm in trouble, because he's got a server that I got to move, and we got like 10 workstations. So here's my backup plan. My backup plan. My middle son is young, healthy, and working. He will call in sick because he's working remotely for the government. So he can call in sick. He'll get paid. He has plenty of sick time. He'll help me with the move, and then I'll pay him on top of that. So he'll double dip and make extra money. So he's the one also picking me up from the airport on Sunday. So I'll just bribe him, you know. So it's nice having, you know, and then there's even another young, healthy son who could also help. And there have been projects where all three of my sons were working with me, where it was like, I even put Dorothy to work. And I got another question for you. So this was like 14 workstations, and we had an unboxing Sunday. And it was all hands. So it was all my sons, my wife, and we were, it was very impressive. And the client, the owner, stopped by, and she was like, this is impressive. You know, as we had it all coordinated and got all the systems set up. And that was pretty cool. Have you put Kim to work?
Oh yeah.
At client?
Yeah. She showed me. Over the weekend, I guess. She showed me where she has a permanently broken nail.
Uh-oh.
Of when I made her do cable terminations for me.
Oh, my. Oh, I would never hear the end of that. Can't fix it at all?
What was that?
They can't fix it at all. There's some pretty talented nail people down
here.
Well,
I think it's at a place where it'll always show.
Oh, okay.
So that's just how that goes. But, you know, she does stuff for me. She, you know, obviously takes care of the office. But in terms of certain setups, if I can just put a checklist up there, hey, just, you know, run this and hit these buttons, she'll do that. She's done some phone setups for me. She did the last Freedom Voice setup that we did. She did all those. So she'll... You know, do the setup.
I would never do that. It would just be something, hey, drive me here, go here, open boxes or something. We would never go tech.
Yeah, but you're not paying her though. I'm paying mine. So.
Yeah, my wife gets paid elsewhere, and thank God, because we got the benefits, you know, the medical benefits.
Yeah,
which was wonderful, being able to making that break from the corporate world. That was a big help, having the medical benefits. So, yeah, we know enough because we'll be married 41 years, August 11th, and this will be the first anniversary that we're not together, ever.
Really.
At 40 years we've been together. Oh. So we're not celebrating it till the 15th when I come back down for the week. So I'll be back down with my oldest son the 15th to the 22nd. So that long story that's not interesting on why that week and why that happened. And that's really because American Airlines owed me that I had to like use or lose before the end of the year. And so we just kind of cherry picked that week,
right?
You know, for the airfare, because of all my trips that were canceled in March and April. So for 40 years, you know, this is going to be weird, you know, for the first time ever, because now that she's staying for the month of August here. So just, you know, but we know, my point. We've been married this long because we know we can't work with each other. So that was.
I'm going to have to plead the fifth on any comments at that level. So,
but see, we know this. So, right. You know, that's, you know.
Yeah. So we're good. I mean, she's got her stuff. She does. I have all the tech stuff. But the good part is my nephew is now getting of age where he can come and help. So, and now he's all excited because, you know, he's getting paid.
Right.
And right. So now he texts me all the time. When can I come do another project? Do you have some work for me? And he lives far enough away that he can't just show up because he doesn't drive yet.
Okay.
But he's going to be working on that. He's old. Okay. He's old enough to drive.
Oh, he's old enough to drive. Okay.
He's old enough to drive.
I have our 13-year-old grandson, Michael III. Has been very interested in watching dad do work and then watching me, you know, at the office, and especially during, you know, homeschool. There was a couple mornings where it was convenient for him to bring the grandkids over to the office so they could work. They could go do their schoolwork, you know, because mom had to take her dad to the hospital or something, you know, or, you know, for not the hospital, but for different checkups and stuff. So we had them there, and, you know, I was disappointed at how little they had to work from home. You know what I mean? Like, there was, you know, the school day was 3 hours. Come on. The school day's not 3 hours. You know, really? They're not putting them to full work.
Well, think about it. When you were in school, how much of the time at school was actually work.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So he had free time to observe us and has been fascinated. So I see him in the wings, you know, he's 13, you know, he takes on an interest for this. This could be very interesting, you know, as we, you know, I'm now generational passing this down, you know, possibly. So
that's what I did with the nephew. So the last project that I did, the Windows 10 upgrades and refreshes, is literally two blocks from his house. So he was able to just come down and help me with that. He's, you know, of course, wanting more projects there. And I'm like, okay, this client doesn't need that much work. So everything else, he's got to come to me or I got to go pick him up. But I have another, my 17 station upgrade, I'm thinking we're going to start next weekend, but the first of the computers got delivered here just about an hour ago. So there's 8 computers here that I think we're going to have him come over one afternoon because he's, you know, not really doing much with school. So if he can get dropped off, I can have him unbox those, prep those. They already have solid state drives in. So it's just going to be setting up the client software, getting on the management software for the RMM. Right. And stuff right. like that. So I can have them at least do that and prep them. And I'll have the other stations probably Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll have them all prepped, and then we'll some of them will be shipped over, some of them I'll take over in the Jeep. And
but now you can bring him and have him schlep with you, right?
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of, you know, here, that's what I need. I'm too old and big to crawl under desks anymore. You know, I need someone to do that, you know? So that's my fear for next week, that I got to get down and crawl under a desk and do something like that, you know, for fixing something. And I'm just hoping that, you know, it's not crucial enough that it can't wait for the following week, you know, because that's something I would dispatch, my son on. So that's interesting. I want to respond. Chris in the chat mentioned he has taken a couple sick days to work on a project, and it reading that has made me think of when I was starting and when I was in the corporate world and started consulting on the side at nights and weekends. I had two law offices that were merging and needed the work, and I took vacation time because I needed a few days to do the project. And that was great because then I was available during the day and I was able to do it. But you'll like this. I made more money 2 years later when they hated each other and the law firms had to separate. And yeah. that was great. I made more money on the separation than I did combining them. So that was, but I would do that. I would take time, you know, if I could take the time and I had it, I've done that. I had so much vacation time. It made it easy to do that.
Interesting. When I worked at the store, so I don't know how much history of mine, you know, but I worked at a computer store for 2 years before I started MB Systems, and we weren't allowed to do on site. The store just didn't do it. So, but the owner was okay with us going after hours, but he wanted us to buy any parts we needed from him.
Okay.
Which in the beginning was fine.
Right.
But towards the end, I found my own distributors. And because he was basically making us pay retail. So I'm like, well, that's not doing us any good. But I never thought of taking a sick day to go work on a business client. I would
not a sick day, it was vacation day.
Okay, or sick or vacation. Either. I just never did that. And so that was interesting. Now, of course, this is, you know, back in the 90s. And from my perspective, I never wanted to upset a boss.
Well, I never had to upset because, you know, I was a manager. I was a network manager doing this. So, you know, I had a staff of engineers. They sometimes didn't miss me and maybe even preferred me not being there. You know, so that's a...
And I ran the tech department, so maybe I thought I can't leave. I can't, you know, I was the main tech and the manager. I had, I think at the time, two techs under me.
I learned something, and my director for the, and this was like the longest stretch in the corporate world. When I was at AmeriGas for 12 years, for 10 of them, the first 10, I had the same IT director. And very early on, he taught me something. He said, you got to have the procedures, the automation in your team to where you can take off, or you're never going to be allowed to take off. I'm never going to send you anywhere. I'm never, because you got to be able to, we got to be able to work while you're, you know, and I got to the point where I could do that. And it was great. He also told me something else. It was funny. So I'm the network manager, and it was a telecom manager that left. And I thought, you know what? I could do that job too. So I went to him and I said, look, roll that into me and make me like an assistant director or something. You know, let's create a position, give me some more money and roll that into me. And he said, Mike, I would love to do that, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather give you the bump and the raise where you're at, because I look at one of my jobs is to protect you from yourself. You don't want that job. And he told me things about that job that I never knew. And I was like, oh, you're right. And why that guy really left is he got beat up on the district phone bills around the country that he had no control over and got beat up by the CFO every week. And he said, Mike, you don't want that. You won't be able to take it. She'll beat you down to the point where you're going to leave. And quite frankly, I don't want you to. So that was kind of funny. But that's how you have to be when you're a manager, and you got to be thinking like that, and you got to protect your people, and you got to look out for them, but also give them the room to grow, but also get them to buy in to, you know, the procedures, getting things automated, getting things to where, you know, I could. So this lends into Florida. So when all that, the reward for that, I got to go to the Gartner Symposium every October in Disney. I mean, every year. I went like 7 years in a row where they paid me to have to stay at the yacht club for a week in Disney, you know? So how can you not, you know? That was so I would say that was the reward, you know, for making sure that all those things were lined up and everything, you know, which was really nice. So I would have a seminar week that was hardcore training. Like when we went with HP Unix, I went to Chicago for a week on like just, man, HP Unix training for a week or something like that. Then I had at the end 5 weeks vacation. So think about that. I was missing almost a week a month when you add it all up, you know, going down. Right. So I enjoyed that. There's some of the perks that I miss from the corporate world. I don't miss not working for anybody, though. I can never work for anyone ever again.
I probably can't either.
Yeah, you can't. Once you do it and you're successful at it.
Well, and in our world, once you see behind the curtain, you know, and a lot of managers today, you know, don't know the tech and don't know, you know, IT. They're just managers and their job is to manage people, but you have to manage people processes as well.
That's right.
So that'll be interesting. That is actually something I'm going to be working on with one of my law firms. They had another situation, and this is probably the third or fourth, where most of my law firms are insurance defense. So their clients are the insurance companies. So they got another request to fill out a security requirements, you know, saying, are you keeping our data private? What are you doing to secure systems? All of that stuff. And they got asked if they do annual cybersecurity risk assessments. And the firm had to say no.
Right.
But they think that this insurance company is going to be one of the ones that they always leave a clause at the bottom that says, we reserve the right to audit.
Oh.
They're going to audit. So I had to refer them out to a company that does real risk assessments because they asked me if I did it. And I said, that's not going to be fair. I can't do this assessment on myself.
Right.
Exactly. You need a third party. So they got the information from the third party. And we're going to now have to go through all of those things and go through all of their policies, procedures, processes, which I know they don't have because I would have been the one writing them.
It's going to be an eye opener and hopefully lots of billable hours for you as you have to make them compliant, you know, or at least mitigate all these gaps that they're going to be uncovering. So,
yeah, and I already know the stuff that they haven't done, and it'll be interesting to see what they, you know, after they get their assessment, because they're still going to have the opportunity to say, yes, we'll do this or no, we won't do that. So it'll just be interesting to see what they actually follow through with. But that'll be fun. That'll be in the next couple of weeks. I got an interesting couple of weeks coming up. I've got the upgrades. I've got that assessment. So I have a not-for-profit. You had mentioned customers that are waiting to move.
Right.
So I have a not-for-profit that they are still waiting to get their building plans approved. Mm. Their plans have been in the permit department for months.
Right.
And now it's even pushed back because the permit department pretty much isn't working during COVID.
Right.
So they've got that against them. They're also in the port, Everglades. So they're inside the port. So there's a whole nother set of stuff there. In the meantime, they said, well, we have to get better internet and new phones. Can you at least start working on that for us? So I said, yeah, I can do that. The problem is I need the new address of where their new building is going to be, because
they can't build it out. They can't build out the internet.
Well, it's not even that. It's I can get them the new internet and phones at their existing location.
Right.
Well, I got to make sure it can move with them.
Right.
So, I mean, I can, you know, just not care and get them the business now and then deal with it, you know, six months or a year down the road. But yep, so that's going to be
that'll
be a fun project. And the good news is it's not that client. So I have another client that I got to order a Freedom Voice phone.
Okay. When you mentioned the new phone system, I didn't know you were, I'm waiting for when you're going to discuss who you're going to be using for new phone.
So I'm on the fence, let's say that. So there, you know, everybody knows it's not like we're bashing Freedom Voice. They have a couple of features that clients want. And
they don't seem to ever, they're going to do it, right. So
being able to see when somebody's on the phone is huge.
Huge. I still get beat up from one of my clients. They can't move because of all this happening, So I get beat up regularly. Yeah. Okay.
So there is another company that I am starting to do some work with, but I haven't finished going through their partner onboarding program. So right. I really can't say much to that yet, except the fact that
I don't want you to. But I am waiting for you and others, mm-hmm. people who know us might know who they are. You guys are going to be the first infantry into this that I get to watch and learn and say, you happy? Your clients happy? Everything good? You got some big clients? And then that's when I dip my toe back in, because I dipped my toe in and the toes got cut off with Freedom Voice.
Right.
So I got to be very careful. And that was a lesson as to, Mike, maybe you shouldn't be doing phones. This was one of the reasons I never did phones. And then I seen all that money lying on the table. Why not do it? Let's just bend over and pick it up.
Yep.
Just pick it up.
That's what I did. Yep.
And then whack right over the back of the head, and I'm like, oh, why did I do this?
Yep.
So
it'll be interesting. I mean, everybody's right. There's money there. The question is, how much work do I want to do for that money that's outside of my normal scope? And that's really what it is. It's another thing I have to worry about that, if I went back to having techs work for me, it'd be different. I could just put a tech on it and make them responsible for the phones and stuff like that. But right now I don't have that. So I got to think about that and see where it goes. Something you might be interested in, and I'll say this, I got a nice long email from a gentleman named Paul who went and purchased a NetScout OneTouch.
Ooh.
And I'm going to have to put a link in the show note for this, because I'm going to tell everybody right now, those devices are on such huge discounts. I don't know if you remember when I first got mine.
Oh, the $15,000 or something.
$12,000 to $15,000 was the starting price.
Right.
You could get those things decked out to $40,000.
Oh, no.
So right now, they're on sale. Let me see if I can grab this and throw this in the chat. I'm not going to have time. $2,000.
Oh, I knew you were going to say a number that.
It's just
large enough to keep me away now. But I'll tell you, it drops below that. I need to know, what? I want that between $1,000 and $1,500, which I know is ridiculous. Just even saying that,
Right.
I mean, $2,000 is a steal.
Well, for this device, yes. Yeah. So he actually got one and had some questions about, things like how to set up profiles, how to use it and stuff. Yep, here it is. Look at this. Ooh, $1,991.
Oh, my.
So let me put, I'm going to copy that and I'll put it in the link here. So if anybody wants to go ahead and get that, use the Amazon link that I'm putting in and give me a good, you know, 1%, 0.5%. Looks like it didn't work in the Facebook. I'll figure something out. So I'll put that out there.
No.
But well, I'm gonna do a show specifically on the One Touch, and I'm gonna do a series of shows where I'm gonna go through each of the tools and do specific tips and tricks and how to use. And, you know, so I'm gonna probably ask for people, hey, what are some questions you want me to answer in those shows? Whether you have a device or whether you're looking at the device and want to know what the features are, why you should get it, that sort of stuff. So I'm going to do one for the One Touch. I'm going to do one for the Etherscope. I'll even go back and do one. The Link Sprinter doesn't need a show.
Yes, it does, though.
Okay. All right. You think so?
I think it does. And, right. And I would, you know, yes, it's easy enough, but you should at least demonstrate what it can do, you know, and what, you know, how to get maximum use out of it. I love the email because then I make the email a PDF and then send it to my client, like for the different like test results as we're
right.
going through and testing. And I love my little Link Sprinter. Matter of fact, my son wouldn't let me take it down here. He said, no, you're not, you don't need that in Florida. I need that here.
That's why you got to get the 5-pack and one for you, one for each of your sons.
Right.
But yeah, so that's what I'm going to be working on here shortly is doing, basically a live demo and, I'll get a second camera so I can have it, show the device while I'm on screen and I can share the screen of the device and show what it's actually doing. And okay. I've got enough of a network here with, you know, PoE switches, VLANs and stuff like that, that I can show.
How do you like this? What we're on right now, StreamYard. What do you think of this? Have you been happy?
Yeah, I like it. So here's the thing for anybody that's looking at a streaming platform. So this I looked at this maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
And didn't like it.
Right.
I can't remember if it was late last year or early this year. I forget who I was talking to. But I was looking at, you know, when I was using Zoom, I would live stream it to the Facebook.
Right.
Well, I was looking for something that I could stream to multiple locations. And
that's what I need to do.
And it was either get my own OBS software or this and right. that. But
are you using OBS right now?
No.
Well, how do you stream to multiple?
So StreamYard streams to multiple locations. It actually streams up to 8.
Really?
Yes. So I'm on the plan that streams to 2 and I do Facebook and YouTube, but it will stream to 8 locations at once. And it's all built through StreamYard and the web. So I don't have to do anything for that, which was always the problem because with all the other platforms, like with the OBS and stuff, I would have had to require the use of my bandwidth. Our hub, the device I use for remote support, my backup, they have a streaming device. They actually sent me one, but it's sitting in my server room because I'm on Comcast and I can't be Comcastic on streaming to all that stuff and depend on it. So right. StreamYard takes care of that for me. So I'm streaming right now to Facebook and YouTube.
Now, how are you recording this?
So it's got a built-in recorder.
Wow.
And then my audio, I'm running through my Rodecaster.
Can I ask, what are the, well, you know what? I'll have to go on StreamYard and look at their pricing. So, like, do they charge per month, per broadcast? Okay.
Yes, per month. It's
really, and I guess how many streams do you want? And that's right.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yeah, and it's not bad. I mean, when you look at it compared to the other services, it's actually less than most of the other ones I looked at.
I mean, I'm paying nothing for Twitch, so that's what.
Well, you know, and that's fine because you're not live streaming out to all these other locations. Twitch is fine.
But I should be. And that's where I have to, that's what I really, again, I'm leaving stuff on the table by not doing what you're doing. I got to take advantage of Facebook and YouTube, and I'm I I just don't have the presence that I should be, that I should have on there. So I'm going to, I am looking at.
I didn't like even think of presence. I'm not thinking of that. I'm just like, where can I stream that people will watch? And that's it.
Yes. But you also, you know, you got to think of where it's going to be for people when they come back and look, you know, when you look at like a Cary Holzman, and that's how he makes a living, you know, on YouTube. Right. But then again, that's all he does, you know, which is, you know, building the systems, and he's got a large, large following. And I don't even do what I should be doing in Twitch. My listeners go, Mike, how come I can't look at any past videos there? And I'm like, well, I don't post them up, and I don't, you know, I don't do the work. You know, that's a lot of work. You know, now if we had a producer or somebody that can, you know, that can help, you know,
we're going to have to talk off air, because I'll tell you a little bit more about StreamYard and what it does and all of that stuff. So we'll talk about that. And, because I've, you know, at one time I thought, well, if Mike's on Twitch, maybe I'll go on Twitch. Right. But I don't have the cult following that you do either. So, I mean, you've got people that are, you know,
right.
When you announce you're going live, you got a, you know, crew waiting for you. So,
right. Right. But, and I want that. And that's why we're going to do like another Tech Vets this week, because like when Cary announces he's going live and I announce I'm going live, oh my God. What we get on, you know, on YouTube live is amazing. So, and it's a lot of fun. It's just a little more excitement when you got, you know, 1800 people watching you live. You know what I mean? There's an excitement level that I can't put into words, that just, you know, energizes you.
Yeah.
You know,
I won't ever be at 1800.
You know, that's Cary. Cary has thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands.
If I get to 18, I'll be happy one day. All right. So we'll talk more about that. So, yeah. So those shows will be coming up soon. I don't know how I'm going to do them. I'd like to do them in a series where they're, you know, one after the other. I just got to get my timing down, and between work and, you know, my wife is still going through stuff. She's got a couple of doctor's visits coming up. I've still got these major projects. Still got diversity stuff I'm doing. So my life is pretty busy right now. So
it's hard to be running your business and doing, you know, all these shows and all the, you know.
People don't realize podcasting. Here's what's funny. I can tell you this. So when I started working with Jeff and coming on as a, you know, helper for him whenever he needed somebody. And I started talking to Dore about bringing back Podnuts Pro.
Right.
Because everybody, you know, wanted to do it, but, you know, Matt didn't want to be the person behind it.
Right.
As the way I describe it, he just wanted to be the talent and show up. But
that's nice when you can do that. Yeah. You got to have a staff, and someone's got to pay for the staff.
Yeah. Know? But Dore made a comment. He goes, you know, if you have to look at podcasting as work, then don't do it.
Mm.
And at first I'm thinking, okay, yeah, you just basically, you know, throw up a mic and talk and, you know, get people to listen. And look chat. Who's listening. Well, interesting. Just like, but you know, to do it right and to do it consistently, it does take work.
It,
you know,
it
is. Now in your case, it's not as much because you don't have guests. I mean, you just, when you're ready, you go.
I make it easier. Yes.
My show is all about the guest or the vendors or the stories. Cause I'm not going to sit up here and talk myself. You know, that's just not me. I don't have that storytelling gene in me.
I love that. And I can do that. Give me a mic. Tell me how long and what do you want me to talk about? Go ahead. Go, you know, and I can do that, but it's harder. And it's why there's less tech vets, because now you got to coordinate and he's not on the same coast as I am. So it is very hard for Cary and I to get our times together. And that is a lot of work, just getting that together. And he just wants to wing it. And we can, and we do a lot of times. Now, like, interesting. Why there's going to be a show next week? The material's all there. There's this little stack of email that we haven't even gotten to. We like never read the email. So we have a stack, and I'm like, let's just read and answer the email and have some fun. And he's like, okay, yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, done. And if I got a ton of email, I'd do that too. I mean, I've got the one email. I get maybe an email a week. It's not a lot. But again, we're not, you know, I don't have the show that you do. You know, I don't have it to where I'm giving out tips and stories and, you know, because here's the thing. We don't need another show like yours.
Right.
You know,
but you do have the stories from the trenches that I guess you bring up.
Well, like, I bring up if they're relevant.
When they're relevant now, like today, you know, I was, you know, pulling it out, you know, some right. of them. So that's that, which is fun, which is what everybody loves. They love, you know, because it's real and it's what we're, you know, we're living it. You know, you can read all you want, but man, when someone's telling you what you've been through and what you're living through, look, okay, this is, you know, this is what Microsoft wants you to do, and this is how you get certified. But in the real world, this is what you do,
right?
You know, that's what people need,
and that's what I'm trying to do with some of these shows coming up. I want to, you know, take the tools that I use, show people how I use them, and get, you know, comments back from other people that use them because they may be doing things that I'm not,
right?
You know, and that's really what I think these communities should be, is us helping each other out. And, you know, there's what's funny is I look on the Facebook and I see people comment when somebody asks a question, you know, and oh, you should be doing this and you should be doing that, but you can't really flesh those out.
Right.
You know, the way you can talking to somebody and showing the live demos and stuff. So that's what I think I want to try to get to that. So I'm working on that. I want to do more stuff, talk about the tools, talk about processes, procedures.
And I've often said, which you just kind of said this without saying it, I want to be I'm always the conduit. I'm not the answer all the time. Sometimes I'm just the conduit between the listeners' problems and solutions because I can't solve everything. And they're the ones I throw out there and I get some great emails back and I'm like, okay, this is what we do. Or, you know, when I screw up, man, I take it to a new level, you know, where I get, you know, why are you doing that, Mike? No, this is, you know, and that's great too. And I want to hear that because I'm going to learn. I always say I learn every show, you know, because of my listeners and it's a lot of fun. So that's as much as the planning, like I already got this week's lined up. Now there's always could be an event that can flip that and change that. And that does happen often. You know, whether it's a world event, a client event, a personal event, something happening that I got to talk about that and that changes the schedule. And then that show gets pushed, you know, what I'm doing.
Right.
So I did.
I don't do. There are things that happen to me that there will be times. It's funny. There will be times where I sit and think, oh, I should talk about that on the show. But then when it comes down and I've had time to think about it and I'm like, no, I'm not going to put that on the show. But I probably should. I mean,
I got to admit, over the years, I'm doing it less, even though it looks like I'm doing it a lot, especially since this, you know, but, you know, getting the house in Florida here, that just precipitated so much. And by the way, everybody who sees on Facebook where I killed the car dealer, I was just the opposite today. In praising them because I killed them and now I praise them because I got to be, you know, they exceeded my expectations. So they got to get the credit for that. So I have been getting a little more personal because there was a time where I didn't, you know, where I got too personal, you know, and you always have the haters. You know, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, I'm going to quote Carrie, you know, you just got to live with them, you know, where I don't want to hear that, Mike, about that stuff. And then I got people, well, we missed that. What happened? I want the personal stuff. So How do you make everybody happy? It's a very difficult
task. And I don't even try anymore. And I just know that here's the philosophy I started to take. And I did this. Okay, I'm going to be a little touchy here. So, you know, everybody thinks that I started doing that with the diversity stuff. Mm-hmm. Because there were people that said, you know, tell me when you're done talking about that and get back to tech. When I talked about my wife, and the only reason I brought up the wife is I had to let everyone know why the shows were sporadic, why things were happening the way they were. And because look, you know, we all have personal things that should come before something like a podcast. You know,
yes,
I got to take care of my family. I got to take care of work. And when I have time, I'll take care of the podcast. When we had the situation last year with Elizabeth Lamb, and people were like, well, why are you doing this? Why are you using it? I'm like, you know what? Here's something that's happening in our community that's probably at this time more important than me talking to another tech or another vendor.
Yep.
Because I'm like, you know, this is, and I'll just flat out say it. This was somebody who was stealing money from IT providers like us. And I felt I needed to say something because she was on my show doing it.
Right.
You know, so there were listeners that went to her services because of my show. And there was no way I wasn't going to come around full circle and say, okay, here's something that was wrong. Call them out. And when she decided to try to play victim and try to be the bully and claim that all of, I wasn't going to stand for that.
Well, look, here you go. Now, I was not going to use her for that type, but Carrie and I engaged her for, which a lot of, nobody knows this, Marv does, but we were in talks about her doing something for us, for Carrie and I, in the podcast space. And I am so glad that you did what you did, because that just kind of, and it was like, okay, wow, did that save us from going down that path? So there you go. You saved people that were going to do that. And I believe if you saved one, it was worth it,
right?
You know, and you saved a lot more than that.
And it's the same with anything else. I'm not just, I mean, I just used her as an example because that was the one I got so much crap for. I get literally attacked for that. I'm like, why? I'm trying to save people. But exactly. We do it with vendors. We do it when Microsoft screws up. We do it. We just did it with Freedom Voice. You know, as much as Freedom Voice has been good to us, there's a couple of things that, okay, this is a big deal for some people. And, you know, we need to call out the good and the bad in the industry. So.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I'll get on my soapbox. I beat up Comcast and Verizon when they deserve it. And when, you know, and of course, Microsoft, that's easy. That's like, you know, that's just low hanging fruit that you just grab. It's easy to criticize them. So. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, having said that, we have gone over for quite some time here. And if you'll hang on, I have a member of my studio here that's writing me a note. So as soon as I get that note, I will end off the show here. But I want to thank you for coming on and saying hello again. If everybody can hang on just a second here. Okay. All right. Sorry. So what happened is I just got, so we've been waiting all morning to find out when we were going to get the first client hurricane call. And a client,
you got it.
A client just called in. So that was her letting me know that a client is called in and wanted to know what they should be doing now because of the hurricane. And that's the joy, Mike, that you get to actually, you know what? You're not going to have a lot of it because you're only going to be down here in the spring.
Exactly. Exactly. But now unfortunately for you, you've now added another person that will consult you.
That's fine.
In moi.
That's fine. We've already talked about how we've got a phone tree for when things happen. So I may just do like a hurricane channel to where after every advisory, I'll just come on and do a hurricane update. And we'll see how that goes.
It's a great idea.
So, all right. So let's go ahead and head out here. Any last words to say to the listeners as you, you know, finish up, head out of Florida, back to PA?
Back to PA, and then it'll be interesting. I'm back here for a week, and then I don't come back till November for a week, that, you know, during Thanksgiving. So I just pray that the property stays safe while I'm away. Okay. So I can worry less. So, but thank you for the opportunity and everything. And Marv has given me a tremendous Florida education that it is needed to be a Florida man.
All right. Well, Mike, we'll be talking more, I'm sure, as we are now Florida buddies. And for all of you watching, thank you very much. For all of you listening, thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please be sure to head over to podnuts.com and check out the rest of the shows there. If you check out the show notes, I will have the links in there of anything we talked about. We talked about the Freedom Voice. We talked about stuff. I obviously will have the link to the One Touch in there. And I will be doing some upcoming shows on the NetAlly Network Testers. And again, our wishes go out to Robin Livesay. I don't know what the situation is with a family member, but I hope that all is well and that she will be back either next week or the week after to do the show with Up Level Systems. So that's it. Thank you very much for listening. That's going to do it for this episode of Pod Nuts Pro. And until next time, holla.